Christmas is truly an occasion of great joy, isn't it? So many things that we rejoice about. We've just sung about the joy to the Lord. We've just sung about how the angels themselves sing praises to God in joy. And at Christmas time, we remember this joy, right? We remember this time of great joy, and we express that joy in a whole host of different ways, right? A whole host of different ways. We take time off work. We're grateful for that. We're grateful that that our companies, our employers give us time from work. We spend time with family. That's a way that we express that joy, isn't it? We decorate our homes in a special way. Maybe some of us have Christmas trees. Maybe some of us have Christmas lights. These are expressions of our joy. My favorite one is that we eat too much food. You know, that's a way that we express our joy. When we rejoice in something, we make good food and we enjoy good food. And of course, we give presents to one another as well. And these are all great ways to express this joy, to express this real joy that we all feel. And we do these things because there is so much joy to feel. There is so much to rejoice about. And that's what I want us to think about briefly as we think about the significance of Christmas. Did you notice too in one of the passages we read in Luke chapter 2, one of the passages we read, even the angels proclaimed that there was so much to rejoice about. And I want to draw your attention to those verses in the second chapter of Luke. If you still have your Bibles open there, the second chapter of Luke. We're just going to look at a few verses there together. And that was part of the passage that where the shepherds were doing their work, right? They were going through their ordinary grind of day in, day out, an ordinary day out in the fields. They're tending their sheep, and then something extraordinary happens, right? An angel appears to them. So if you have your Bibles open to the second chapter of Luke, notice verse 10. Notice verse 10 and 11. In verse 10 it says, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy.'" Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So even here we see the angels set the tone. There is good news that will cause great joy to all people. So we are included in that, all people, here this evening. There is much to rejoice about. And so what's the cause? What's the root of this great joy? What is this good news that the angels are proclaiming? And well, verse 11 tells us. Did you see that in verse 11? They tell us what the cause is. What's the source of this great joy? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." A Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord. So there's the object of our joy. There's the source of our joy for Christmas. A Savior has been born. Now, do you think this is a worthy reason to rejoice? Do you think this is a worthy cause to rejoice? And to be fair, you might think it a worthy reason to rejoice or not, whether or not you think you need a Savior. If you think you need a Savior, it will be a worthy reason to rejoice. But in fact, if you don't think you need a Savior, this statement that the angel makes, that a Savior is born, it's not actually good news at all, if you think about it. If you don't think you need a Savior, this angel saying a Savior is born, that's not good news at all. In fact, it's actually insulting, and it's actually quite offensive for someone to say that. Because think about it, a Savior, the fact that you need a Savior implies that you need some sort of saving, that you need some sort of help, that there is some sort of deficiency in you that needs to be sorted out, that needs some sort of assistance. And so if you don't think you need a Savior, this statement from the angels is something like this. Picture this. Imagine you're at the beach, you're happily swimming at the beach, maybe you're doing some laps along the beach. And you're feeling strong, you're feeling good, maybe you're training for something. But then from the beach, an overzealous Coast Guard, he rushes out to you, he throws you a safety buoy, he gets in your way and he tries to save you. Now, if somebody did that, that would be rather annoying, maybe also insulting. You say, I didn't need to be saved. And it would be offensive. You weren't drowning. You didn't need to be saved. If anything, You have no reason to rejoice about this lifeguard's action. If anything, you have every reason to be angry and upset at this lifeguard. So, if you don't think you need a savior, there is no reason to rejoice at the birth of Jesus Christ. But the thing is, we all need a savior. We all need a savior. We all need to be saved from our sins. And now, when I say sins, it can be really helpful to think about that as we need to be saved. We can think of sins as crimes against God. That sins are like crimes against God. Sin is breaking the law of God. Sin is breaking this law that he has given to us. And those who break God's law are criminals, right? Those who break the laws in New Zealand are criminals in New Zealand. And so in the same way, those who break God's laws are criminals before God. And so I guess the next question, the question we need to ask ourselves is, do you think that you are a criminal in God's eyes? Do you think you're a criminal in God's eyes? Have you broken God's law? Well, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen something, even something small? God says, do not steal. Have you ever used God's name as a cuss word? Used it to express your anger or your frustration? Or think about this one. Have you always obeyed your father and your mother? Now, any one of those actions makes you a criminal before God. Think about it this way. How many people does a murderer need to murder to be a murderer? Only one person. One to be a murderer. How many lies do you need to say to be a liar, to be guilty of that crime? Only one. Only one. But God also sees our thoughts. God also sees our thoughts, and he holds us accountable at the level of our thoughts. When our Lord Jesus Christ, when he did his teaching ministry, he told this to his disciples. He said, if you are angry against someone, if you're angry against someone, or if you hate them, that thought in your heart, that thought in your mind, carries the same condemnation as a murderer in God's court. So God sees our thoughts. Jesus Christ also said that if you look at lustfully towards someone, that carries the same condemnation as if you had committed the act of adultery. So God looks at our thoughts. God looks at our hearts. If we've broken his law, at our hearts, at a level of the heart. So one single act, one single angry or lustful thought is enough to make you a criminal before God, because God is so holy. God is so perfect. And so how many of those thoughts, how many of those just simple thoughts in your mind have you had in your lifetime? God will hold you accountable for your every thought and your every action. And so if you're thinking, well, who then can stand before God? Well, no one can stand before a holy God. Yes, every single one of us is a criminal before God because of our thoughts, because of our action. And that's why we rejoice at the coming of a Savior. Because not only do we see ourselves that we've broken God's law, the Bible tells us that God is a just judge. God is a just judge. He's not corrupt. He's not a corrupt judge. He doesn't fail to punish the evildoers. And so for most of us, this should make us glad. We're like, that is a good thing. The evildoers will not go unpunished ultimately. This does make us glad until we realize, as we've just said, until we realize that we are the guilty ones. We are the ones counted amongst the evildoers. We have broken God's law in our thoughts and our actions. And since God is just, he will punish criminals. And the Bible describes this place of punishment as hell. The Bible explains it as a place of eternal torment, a place where criminals rightly pay for their crimes before God. Where criminals rightly pay for their crimes before God. So do you start to see your need for a savior? Do you start to see the the need that everybody has for a Savior? Do you start to see why there is such reason to rejoice at the birth of Jesus as the Savior? Because without Jesus Christ coming to earth and then dying on the cross, there is no way, there is not a single way to be saved from hell apart from Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus Christ was born, he was born for a very specific purpose. He was born for a very key mission. He had a specific mission to execute. He was born for the purpose of dying. He was born for the purpose of dying on the cross. And when he was dying on the cross, he was paying that punishment that your crimes deserve. Those crimes that we've just talked about. Those crimes were like a debt before God. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for that debt in full. He is the Savior. That is how he saves us. That is how he saves us from sin. Now, some of you might say, but that's not fair. That's not fair. How can somebody else pay for what I deserve? How can somebody else pay the debt that I have incurred? And you're totally right. It's not fair. Jesus paying for your crimes, Jesus paying for your debt is not fair. If you received what was fair, you would be paying for it in hell. But God is not only just, he's also merciful. God is merciful and gracious. God is a gracious God. And that's why he sent his son. That's why he sent his son to be born and to die on the cross. To pay for your sins, to pay for my sins, so that you would not need to pay for that punishment. So that you would not need to suffer that punishment in hell. It's a gracious gift from God. A gracious gift from God. It's not fair. It's a gift. And so you have a choice. You have a choice to accept that gift, or you have a choice to reject that gift. If you reject that gift, if you reject that gift of Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you believe the lie that you don't need a Savior, then you will answer for your crimes before God. And God tells us very clearly that those who do not cling to Christ as their Savior will be sent to hell. But if you accept the gift, this gift of life that God gives you, if you accept Jesus as your Savior, that he died to pay for your sins, God promises you. God gives you his solemn word. He promises to you that you will have eternal life. You will go to heaven when you die. He makes that promise. And so how do you accept that gift? How do you accept this gift of life that Christ came to purchase when he came to earth? Well, the Bible tells us we accept this gift by faith. We take God at his word. If God makes a promise, we take that to be true. And that faith is displayed as we seek to live a life that's pleasing to him. If what God said is true, then my life will be completely different. We turn from our sins, from our crimes against God, and we turn to do things that please God. We turn from our actions and our thoughts that are displeasing to God, and we turn to thoughts and actions that are pleasing to him. We turn to him and away from our sin. Will you accept that gift? Will you accept that gift? God is offering you this gift. Will you see your need for a Savior? Will you cling to Jesus Christ specifically for your Savior? It's one thing to know that we need a Savior, but it's another thing to cling to Christ, to cling to the one who was born almost more than 2,000 years away, and to trust in him and his work for your salvation. Because it's true, Christmas is an occasion of great joy. It is an occasion of great joy. It's an occasion of great joy because we remember that our Savior was born. That's why it's an occasion of such great joy. A Savior who saved us from hell. A Savior who saved us from sin. A Savior who, who paid the penalty that we deserved. A Savior who made a way for eternal life, a way to heaven, a way to be acceptable to a holy God. A Savior who made a way for us to be holy. A Savior who made a way for us to enter into the presence of the living God. The more we realize our need for a Savior, the more we realize our sinfulness and our brokenness and our inabilities to do anything that pleases God, the more we realize that, and at the same time, the more we realize the magnificent work of what Jesus has done, the full scope of what he has done when he paid that penalty on the cross, the more we realize those two things, the more we will have to rejoice, the more we will have reason to rejoice right now as we think about the birth of our Savior, as we think about the fact that Jesus Christ came to earth to save sinners like you and me. And then we will have so much reason to rejoice as we celebrate this Christmas season.